4 years. Henry Ford Community College is located near the corners of Ford and Evergreen Roads. Visit hfcc.edu for more details. The choice is clear. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
WebAdvisor is a secure internet program that allows HFCC students and faculty to safely access their college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, current students may register for classes, drop and add classes, pay for classes, retrieve grades, view and print schedules, get updates on financial aid info, check account balances. Log on to WebAdvisor at my.hfcc.edu or from the HFCC homepage at www.hfcc.edu.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Put Me on the Radio. My name is Dennis, and usually you would hear at this point the lovely and talented Lindsay. Lindsay should be with us at some point today. As of right now, though, I am in the studio with Lynn. Lynn Grunst is with us. I don't want to say sitting in because we've done this a couple times together, haven't we, Lynn?
We have. We've done good radio together.
I think so. I think we've done some excellent shows.
You've even been a boy on No Boys Allowed.
I have. I think I was the only time there was a male on No Boys Allowed. Actually, I always joke with people that's not, you don't mean guests, you mean the actual music you're playing, right?
Right.
So anyway, Lindsay will be here at some point, we hope. And of course, the door will always be open to her, and we have a seat warmed up and ready if you're listening, Lindsay. In the meantime, we have a lot of stuff to go over today. Ton of stuff to go over, and I want to start. We have somebody else is joining us in the studio, joining Lynn and myself, and his name is Chad Austin. And listeners might remember a couple years ago, Chad was actually on Lindsay and my very, very first show, the first edition of the Campus Connection. In fact, next month will be the 2-year anniversary. Chad was our first guest, and we welcome him back simply because he is such a vital part of what we're trying to do here at the college. And Chad, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And you. Can we 86 that music? Beautiful. You're awesome. You're the job placement officer of the college.
That's correct.
And that means, that means different things to different people because I've had this conversation. You know, I'm the editor of the paper, and a lot of people ask me different questions. And can you do a story about this? And it's eight times out of 10, it's career related.
Mm-hmm.
And your office, and I'll share this with people because it was kind of a revelation for me. I went to the office yesterday. Of course, you and I are talking about different things we can add job placement wise to the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around because there was a teacher talking to you. So I'm really looking around, not just your office, but where Carol Bewick is out in the outer area, the general reception area, whatever you want to call it. Man, you have every resource, okay, there might be some missing, but everything that I could see imaginable for somebody that's in at pretty much any level or any stage of the job search.
We've worked really hard to make it that way. You know, kind of sit back every summer and look at the resources that we have for students and alumni, we always try and identify gaps. And I think this past summer we did a really good job of kind of identifying some areas that maybe we didn't have great coverage in, and we've tried to improve that so that when a student or an alumnus comes in, they feel that we have something there that can help them in their job search process.
And not the least of which is, I think the world of the people you work with, especially Carol, she's just been, I mean, just gracious people. And I'm not, okay, Michigan's known for friendly people. I used to live in New York, and people that would say, well, two things in Michigan I know really well. Everybody says hello with a smile, and there's a McDonald's at every exit. And that's how they talk in New York, by the way. But
great impersonation.
Thank you. But it's so often we go into situations where people are frustrated and everybody has a smile. So I guess what I do, I want people to go there, but for the reason of us finding out what they want to do in life, a job, a career, whatever, but also know that the people there are just, they'll take care of you. Now, it's been a little while, so let's talk a little bit about your background and how you got here.
Sure. I went to Central Michigan University to actually become an English teacher. Both my parents were teachers.
Okay.
The ultimate goal was for me to be an English teacher and coach basketball and have the summers off. Well, I learned real quick in college that I didn't want to be a high school English teacher. Worked at a job out in a school, college out in Missouri for 2 years, and decided to get my master's degree at Michigan State in Student Affairs Administration, which basically covers everything to do with college that's not in the classroom.
Okay.
So you name it, student activities, res life, judicial, things like that, that all kind of got covered with that. And after that, I went to Miami University, which is not in Florida.
No.
It's a small town in Oxford, Ohio, and I worked there for about a year and a half. And then before coming here, I worked 3.5 years at Wayne State University School of Business in the Career Planning and Placement Office. So I've been in the career field now for about 6 years.
Okay.
And it's been great. I love it, and I'm really happy that I think I've kind of found a home here at HFCC, and I really enjoy kind of what I do here.
No, I don't want to put you on the spot for numbers. We talked about a couple things yesterday, and you brought it up on the computer, and I know that obviously the key to life, we can't know everything, but we have to at least know where to find it.
Sure.
So if you do you remember the number, what did we say in the last year, how many jobs have been available here? I want to say 289.
289 is about right. Now, again, that number fluctuates every day because we're always adding jobs, but we started our job website, hfccjobs.com, last fall. And so we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of it. And in that time, we've had about 300 jobs go up on the system. And that's just on the system. Now, we've had other jobs that are posted directly in our office. I have employers that call me with specific jobs that they want kind of disseminated out to a particular student program. But by and large, I'd say right around 300 jobs on the system, and we're really happy with that. And it was a slow process. You know, for the first couple of months, we had 20, 30. Now we're averaging more like 80, 85 jobs on the site at one time.
That's awesome.
So we're happy with the direction it's heading.
Okay. Now, for people to take advantage of the website, they need to, there's certain things that need to be what's the process, I guess, is my question.
Well, the HFCC jobs, www.hfccjobs.com, is open to all current HFCC students. So as long as you're enrolled in a class, you're eligible to sign up for it.
Okay.
You have, in order to stay with that, you have to either be on the system as a student, or you have to have graduated with an associate's degree or a certificate from an accredited HFCC program. So a student that took classes in 2001 and hasn't been back since would not be eligible. But as long if they graduated from a program, they're always eligible.
Okay. So even if they don't go here,
even if they don't go here anymore,
got
that's
it.
Fine. So We're trying really hard to make it as accessible to as many people as possible that have those strong HFCC ties, and then just make it a situation where they can log on, view jobs. I mean, because any employer that's on that system specifically wants to hire HFCC students and alumni.
Right.
So that's
you know, that's
great.
A good point. I mean, they may be on other systems as well, maybe Central, whatever, but they specifically, there's a reason why they want to be active on our particular what do you call it, database or whatever.
And a lot of it comes just simply because we have so many great programs that students can get a degree or certificate in. You know, we have over 200 programs.
And what did you, that website again is WHFR, it's HFCCjobs.com,
correct.
Okay, .com?
Yep.
Okay. So that was set up specifically for that purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's actually two sites that are run through our office. There's careers.hfcc.edu, and if you folks are trying frantically to scramble and write all this down, just go to the main HFCC website and type in careers in the search engine. It'll pop up. But we have one website that's a lot of information as far as resume assistance, different things the office can do to help you out. You can follow us on our calendars up there as well, and all upcoming events are up there. And hfccjobs.com is strictly for job search. If you log into that, you're there just to look for jobs.
Okay. And as you said, they come and go. Now, we're adding something through a coordinated effort, and we really appreciate your help and your office's help on this. We're actually going to, as I alluded to earlier, putting some of the actual job, not detail. We're not going to tell who you are because we don't know who they are. This is the function of what we're doing, which means putting the category as well as the job title into the newspaper, which we, I think, appropriately are putting in the Campus Essentials. So this is, I think, very, very essential for people to not only be aware of it, but to take advantage of it. But our goal, and I can't stress this enough, is to send people through your office.
Right.
That's important. And we'll get to some of the seminars and different workshops that you have in a minute. But this is what you guys do.
Exactly.
I mean, you have a system to do this. And as long as, and this is key, I think as long as the student does their part, because they can't come in there, sit down, and say, get me a job.
And we have had students do that.
I'm sure of it.
They come in and say, well, I'm ready to be placed if it's that easy.
Yeah.
And I said, if it were that easy, the line out of my door would be a lot longer.
Yes, it would.
Because there's a lot of people looking for jobs. We try and help students in every way possible. If they have never written a resume before, they can come into our office and we'll help them write a resume. If they've never uploaded a resume to an electronic system before, which is in the direction that most most hiring systems are heading.
Absolutely.
You can't walk door to door and hand out a paper resume anymore.
No.
You have to be able to upload your resume into a system and apply that way. And
can I stop you on that?
Sure, absolutely.
My daughter, she goes to school here. She's just turned 18, and you have a good point. I mean, when we were younger, and I know that I'm a little bit older than you, but it used to be that you could walk in, resume in hand, fill out an application, and maybe the chances were pretty darn good that you could talk to a manager and almost get an interview on the spot in some of the retail, maybe restaurant kind of jobs, entry-level positions for somebody of 18. It's not like that.
It's not. And you know, we say you have to be adaptable and you have to be willing to do that electronically now, but we still think that face-to-face contact is essential.
Huge.
But by and large, a lot of companies now are posting to electronic bulletin boards or job sites, and you have to be prepared for that.
Okay. So when somebody – I interrupted you. I'm sorry. So that's part of the process where you will – somebody comes in and says, get me a job. You're going to direct them. First, you have to get your resume. Wonderful article. I don't want to ruin it. An article that you wrote for the Mirror News that comes out – I keep plugging the news, don't I? It comes out actually Thursday. It's how to write a resume when you have no job experience. That is a big deal. I know many people that either their children or they themselves were so devoted to sports and school and high school that they didn't get out and work.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's not like they were sitting around or whatever. You know, so I mean, this is nothing to be ashamed of, but it doesn't look that great on your resume unless you follow certain – they're not even tricks. They're just common sense things that you
brought. They're guidelines. You could put down that you led the team in hitting and you were the, all-conference shortstop, that might attract an employer, but odds are good it won't.
At Dunham's.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, even then, I'd still rather know if I were hiring you that you were the team captain, that you organized team activities, that you set up an off-season work schedule, because those are all – workout schedule or something like that. Those are all traits that could translate more easily.
Leadership things.
Exactly.
Sure.
I mean, the fact that you can hit a hanging curveball is great, but I don't think it's going to be applicable to many areas outside of baseball.
That's true.
And that's – in the article we talk about volunteerism and leadership opportunities.
School projects.
Like, sure, absolutely.
That was awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's things out there. You didn't just spring into existence yesterday. You've done some things. It's just figuring out what things you've done and what things to emphasize.
And then how to write it. The newspaper, and we're hoping, and we've talked about this being a column consistently in every paper, and I appreciate that. Like you just said, it's an article that you still need to get in there, talk to Chad, and you will. One-on-one time, is that an option?
One-on-one time absolutely is an option. I schedule usually about 4 or 5 student appointments a day,
okay,
about 45 minutes. We try and give you enough time where if you have questions, you can get answers. With a counseling interview or any time you sit down with someone, sometimes it's very quick. It's, well, what do I need to do? Here's what you need to do. Go ahead and do it.
Right.
With the resume and the job search process, it's a little more nebulous. You have to kind of find out where they're headed, where they've been. So I ask a lot more questions. And we work on the resume and we work on a cover letter or references or how to interview. We do a lot of time spend time talking with students about their interview techniques and what they can improve upon. But the ultimate goal is to get it as smooth as possible and get them out there and looking for jobs. And
Do you have people sometimes that come in that they have unrealistic expectations? Like Joe, whatever, comes in and says, I want to be an architect. Give me an architect job. And you're like, well, you need about 6 to 8 years of school for that, Joe.
What more often than not happens is, you know, when I ask a student what their objective is, they'll give me what 10 years down the road the objective is.
Sure.
They know where they want to get.
Oh, I want to be Brad Pitt.
Well, they know where they want to be. They know that they have a job out there that appeals to them, but they don't understand the steps that might take to get there.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, I say, you know, it's great to have a 10-year goal, but what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do tomorrow to make that happen? And it's not just go from A to Z. You've got to hit all the letters in between.
Absolutely.
So we talk about setting realistic goals and saying, all right, if you want to become an architect, maybe getting a job for the summer because you're only in your first year of school at a construction company where
sure.
you can get out there and read plans and do things like that, or get an office assistant position at an architecture firm. You might be making coffee and copying down notes, but you're also getting to meet people in the field. You're also getting to hear, maybe sit in on a couple of meetings, things like that. So it's a process. It's not a jump straight to Z. You've got
no.
to go through all the letters in between.
No, and I think when I was younger, I know I was impatient. You know, I want it now. I want it all, by the way, and I want
sure,
it now.
Sure, of course.
So,
and I think that's still something that happens with a lot of students here. They know what they want. They just are unsure how to get it.
Right.
I'm happy to help them do that.
I think we're lucky to have that kind of your attitude is excellent, first of all. But we're lucky to have that office here. Again, this is Campus Connection. We're talking to Chad Austin. I'm in the studio. Lindsay's on her way, promise. But Lynn's sitting in. Lynn, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. But actually, I kind of do.
Oh, too late.
One thing you mentioned is an HFCC graduate always has the opportunity to utilize the service at some
point.
That's
correct. Yes.
Okay.
One of the things we're proud of is that, you know, we say that Henry Ford Community College is for the community, and we recognize that a lot of our graduates stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, this might be the only college experience they've ever had, or their most successful college experience. We want to serve as a resource for them. We always want them to feel that they can come back and utilize us. They can attend the workshops. They can have a one-on-one appointment with me. They can sit in on mock interviews, things like that. They're all the services pretty much are there for them. And if they choose to make use of them, that's great. We're all for that.
Okay. When are any of these workshops scheduled right now?
Oh yeah. We try and really think about a semester ahead of time. We find that if we plan out an entire year's worth of things, something always changes. But we do have a lot of events that we've planned out for this semester. And I do have the fall calendar in front of me. There's a lot of different things coming up. We'll have resume writing workshops in October. We'll have one of the things that we're trying this year is we've had students come in and say, you know what, I've tried your website, and I keep getting stuck at some point, or I don't know how to find all the jobs that apply to me. So we're going to actually try this year to do some tutorial workshops where if someone's struggling with the website, they can actually come in and I'll walk them through the process. That's something new we're trying, and we've got a couple of those scheduled in October and November and December.
But in September, you have quite, I'm looking at this, you have specific days, and it looks like usually it's a Tuesday, where you have walk-in assistants, so people can bring in a copy of their resume or cover letter?
We've one of the first things I enacted when I got here was walk-in days. If a student can only get a scheduled appointment, I book up fast. So
right. Yeah, I noticed.
seeing that they might have to wait 3 months three weeks can sometimes be a little bit daunting for students.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what, we're going to leave Tuesdays open, and that's also the day I stay later. I extended my office hours on Tuesdays until 6:30. The office is open until 6:30, and if you're on campus that day, it's first come, first served. If you walk in the door and you've got a quick question, I'm happy to answer it. If you want to sit down and take a whack at your resume, we'll spend 10 minutes or so working on it.
Right.
I try and limit them to about 10 minutes because sometimes I can get a little backed up because students come in quite often on Tuesdays. I think the word's getting out.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, you know, come on in and we'll get you started. And I might say, you know, at the end of that time, why don't you set up a full-time appointment with me, and we'll really try and hash it out. But a lot of times students just need that quick answer to a question, and they can go about their business.
And what's great about that is the fact that it is an intimidating thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're 17, 18 years old, and you're hitting college, and everything is new. And you were the king or queen in high school, and you're not anymore.
Oh, good point.
No, very, very true. And a lot of students come in, and they don't know what to ask. They'll say,
exactly.
I know I need a job, or I know that I want to have a career, but I don't know the first step. And You know, I can't provide a complete roadmap for every student,
of course, if,
right. but I can try and point them in the right direction sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So I looked at this calendar, and in September coming up on, this is accurate, right? The 22nd and the 23rd are both mm-hmm. workshops?
Absolutely.
Resume writing workshop from 10 to 11:30 on Thursday, the 22nd of September. It says learn how to create and update your resume.
Yep.
And then on the following day from 12 to 1:30, cover letter workshop. So you can maximize the impact your cover letter can have on helping you get an interview. That's a big deal.
I mean, absolutely.
I've actually heard from employers, and again, I'm a non-traditional student, so mm-hmm. I actually have been out in the workforce for years. Anyway, I've been out for doing this for a little while, but I've actually heard from people that are in a position to hire, and they said sometimes the resumes are so close. And you know, somebody, maybe they went to different schools, but they had similar degree and similar experience or similar age. They both seem qualified. Sometimes that cover letter can be a difference maker because it shows an ability to communicate. A sloppy one may show a little bit of laziness. I think that is an accurate reflection.
That absolutely is the case. And the thing that I see more often than a sloppy one is a generic one.
Yeah.
Where a student will write one cover letter and send it out to five different
Ooh,
employers.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say, I want to work for you in this position, they'll say, I'm looking for a job.
Okay.
And, you know, I the analogy I use with students all the time is you wouldn't want me to make a t-shirt that would fit everyone on this campus because it wouldn't fit all of you very well.
Right.
You know, some people will be dragging on the floor, others will be up around their armpits.
Sure.
The ultimate goal is to customize your cover letter for the job that you want. And that requires a little more time, a little more writing, a little more research. But the end result makes it seem like you are the perfect fit for the job, which is what you are ultimately going for with every job you apply for.
Anything you see as a trend, like right now, job-wise? I mean, is there something that's more than a few options are coming through your office?
Well, the one thing that I'll say is that, you know, again, you talk about Michigan, and you know the history of Michigan is so intrinsically tied to the automotive industry.
Sure.
That's not the case anymore. I think the big three are – or, you know, the auto industry in general is rebounding, and it's rebounding very, very well.
Absolutely.
And we see more hiring, and we see more interest picking up in the automotive industry, but it's going to be diversification. Michigan can't cling to the jobs of the past.
Right.
And for a lot of students and a lot of people that come into my office, they don't understand why that's not the case anymore, because mom and dad both worked on the line.
And their parents.
Grandpa worked on the line,
sure.
And they made very good livings doing that. So now we're seeing a lot more different types of jobs, different types of industries picking up in Michigan, and it's going to require a different mindset of the students that are coming through these days.
I would think so, because I mean, there's jobs that exist now that didn't when our parents
sure,
were going through school, and a lot of computer-related things. Does anybody ever come in and go, well, I have interest in a lot of different areas, and I want something, and because I hear this from my own kids. I want a job that makes money. I'm all about the money right now, and I'm willing to go to school and work for that, and then I'll do what I love later. Well, no, I mean, no, have you heard this too?
Sure, and that's a common refrain from a lot of students. They have the
Hey, Lynn,
yeah.
That's Sandy.
Oh,
cool. We have another guest that just showed up. This is the beauty of independent college radio. We have another guest coming on after Chad. Yeah, and it's not Lindsay.
There you go.
See how people that come in? I'm sorry.
You know, it comes down to when they say, I want to make money, I say, you know, that's great. And, you know, if you have a burning desire to make money, here are some jobs that if you go out and get the right education, you could do very well. But the one thing I'll say to almost every student that comes in is you're going to be doing this for a living for a very, very long time.
A very long time.
And you cannot do something just based on money, or you will be miserable and you will not want to do it. I worked at the Wayne State School of Business, and I had a lot of older alumni coming back into our office and saying, you know, I did very well in the job that I was in, but I was never happy. And if you're not at least somewhat happy with the job you're doing, you're not going to stay with it for very long, simply because, you know, life's too short.
It is. And you know, when we all hear the things that, you know, it's not like our parents or our grandparents where they had one career and they did it, whether they liked it or not, for X amount of years. And I don't know what the statistics are. Maybe the college graduate now is probably looking at 3 to 4 career changes.
That's actually on the low side.
Okay.
What would be considered Generation X or which was my generation, which is you know, mid-70s up until the early 90s, and now we're looking at the millennial generation is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually looking more like 5 to 6 careers. And we're not saying jobs, we're saying careers.
Careers.
Where they've worked for a significant period of time and then make a transition.
And
they accept that now, and that's kind of you know, they know what they're doing now is not what they're going to be doing for the rest of their lives.
Do we all have ADD? I mean, is it? I'm not making light of a very serious thing, but I mean, don't we? Don't I think that is a really interesting thing that that's the statistic?
Well, it's not. It's not so much that they feel they need to change. It's that they want to change. They want to grow and they want to change and they want to be flexible. And what they're passionate. I know what I was passionate about when I was 22 is not the same thing that I'm passionate now at 34.
You're right.
These things change. And
it just seemed to me that the colleges were getting more and more and more and more specialized.
Sure.
It wasn't as general. You were. It was more of a well-rounded education. I mean, this is. I did made a comparison in the 1970s and even through the early 80s. The requirements for any particular degree were less specialized than they are now. And even now within a field, you got to ultra specialize too.
Absolutely.
And they kind of paint you in a corner to a degree, you know?
It can, but then you really try and look for that opportunity to make what I call a lateral move, where you take those transferable skills from one field and move into another. And if you do that well, and again, it comes back to writing a really good resume,
yeah,
you can make that transition.
Chad, thank you so much. How can people get a hold of you?
I'm in T112, the technology building. It's the biggest building on campus with a gray tube sticking out of it.
Okay.
Our office is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, with extended office hours on Tuesday, like I said. And you can always email me at careers@hfcc.edu or give us a call at 313-845-9618.
If somebody is not yet going to Henry Ford Community College, but that's on their plate, I've had a couple people that said, well, can I see job placement first? Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be a student to utilize the services, but I don't think you'll mind if somebody comes in and meets you.
No,
right?
Of course not. And, you know, if they want some advice or some thoughts on something, I'm always happy to give it. The other nice thing is our website, careers.hfcc.edu, is open to the public.
Okay.
So click on that. You can access, you know, resume samples, what's coming up. We've even got some online job choice magazines, some online stuff that you can figure out your pay scale, things like that. Some really cool stuff.
Well, you know, and again, the people that have come to me and said, can I talk to job placement, usually we're switching careers, reinventing themselves, if you will.
Absolutely.
And so you hear that? We want you to be a student here. You can visit Chad first, but do your homework a little bit first, okay? We are going to take a very short non-commercial break, and we're going to come back with a wonderful young lady, Sandra Bolton. We've had her on the show before, I think, and I know you've been on with Jay and me, and we're going to talk a little bit about animals and other things, so please stay tuned.
Looking for something to do on Saturday afternoons? Why not take a short trip to Redford and check out the Friends of the Redford Library book sale? The sale takes place every week from noon to 4 p.m. on the upper floor of the Redford Library, which is located between Telegraph and Beach Daily Roads at 25320 West 6 Mile Road. Come browse in a low-key setting the thousands of used books and small assortment of used CDs and DVDs that are available to purchase. The Friends of the Redford Library is an all-volunteer staff, so proceeds raised by the sale are used to pay for special programs for children and adults. So do something different on Saturdays. Enrich your mind while you contribute to a good cause. For more information, call 313-531-5960.
Hi, this is Go Mike Holloway reminding all of you loyal listeners to tune in to the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m., right here on WHFR.FM, the station that is always making waves.
Right, we are back. This is HFCC's Campus Connection. We're on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. And as I had alluded to before the short break, Sandy Bolton, I know you through the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And also, I think at the Dearborn Farmer and Artisan Market on Fridays, you did something there.
We did.
Let's talk about a lot of the things that you did. First of all, a little bit about your background, please.
Sure. Thank you, Dennis. Well, thank you for having me on today. Looking forward to sharing a little bit about some activities going on with the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and a special place near and dear to my heart, as it is for many.
I was just going to say, and you know that, I mean, and this to us is very important. The Campus Connection, as you may know, Lindsay calls us the ambassadors. No, we're the ambassadors of the school, because what we talk about what's going on at the college and how it relates to the outside communities. Some of our listeners don't go to school here, maybe never have, never will, but they enjoy a lot of the things that we do here, including plays and some of these workshops and things that are open to the public that Chad just talked about, things like that. Well, we're pretty darn good friends with the colleges, with the animal shelter, and of course you've been on with Jay and myself before. If somebody says, well, it's a big part of what we do here, and we're glad to help in any way we can. So please,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. It's really a great organization. The Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter is a nonprofit. It's a 501c3, and we've, of course, giggled about nonprofits and how difficult it is to make ends meet as a nonprofit organization today. Clearly, WHFR, much the same. You're donor-based. And it's really critical that one of the things you continue to do is offer interesting events, opportunities, ways in which to fundraise that maybe aren't necessarily just the traditional bill of fare. And so one of the things that the Dearborn Animal Shelter is fortunate now in year two to be doing is this fundraiser dinner on Friday night coming up. It's this Friday, September 16th, and it's held at our good friends, of course, at Park Place Catering and Banquet Hall.
Sure.
And very, very kind and generous people who support the shelter, along with other community members and our friends here at Henry Ford Community College among them. They're hosting a vegetarian feast, and the emphasis there being on a vegetarian feast. I think some people tend to think if you eat vegetarian, you're getting by on salad and air. And
yeah.
And I can share with you, for one, I'm a solid little girl, and I am eating a plant-based diet myself. So by no means do I survive, frankly, on salad alone.
Right.
And it's a fantastic way of imaginative cuisine. And the idea is really just to introduce imaginative ways to experience eating plant-based foods. And what a great way for an animal shelter to celebrate animals, to provide a meal that didn't require any had to be killed.
Okay.
What a great idea. And it's very much a trend across the country for people to be looking for options that are healthier ways to eat a meal, and frankly feeling like they're a little bit more compassionate in doing so.
But still having enough food and being satisfied.
I want that feeling of sense memory of, gosh, that just is my fall comfort food. And
right.
it's gotta fill that.
What do you think, Lynn? Lynn has been a vegetarian since, I don't know.
Hi, Lynn.
I was going to say the 20s, but that would be a bad joke, and she would take that the wrong way.
No. Dennis just flipped out of his chair. She backhanded him.
Yes, I'm fine. Lynn. It's fine. It didn't hurt.
Yeah, no. Plant-based diets do provide strength.
Yes, they do, contrary to the lack of protein concept.
Well,
there's lots of protein in plants.
It's great, because Lynn and I, we actually had an opportunity about a year and a half ago to take part in the homelessness marathon, which actually took place in the Cassis Quarter down in here in Detroit.
Yeah.
And of course she brought food. I wasn't thinking ahead, you know. I was like, I want to stay up for how long? And she brought food, and she brought the most awesome peanut butter. It was like, I know you didn't make it, but it tasted like it was made that morning.
It was so good. From Eastern Market.
And that's obviously plant-based. And we had, I don't think we had jelly or anything, we had peanut butter and really, really good bread.
No, those were Polish preserves.
Were they?
I found those, Polish
cherry without the
preserves.
Gelatin. Yep.
And
you're right.
Multi-grain bread.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And there were no animals in it involved at all in the creation of this.
No animals were harmed in the making of this meal.
So
I know.
What kind of things will be on the menu? Do you know?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's actually very exciting. This is the second year that the Dearborn Animal Shelter has hosted this No Beast Feast. And really nice from the experience. Last year, there were other restaurants that chose and other local chefs who wanted to hop on board.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a very good friend of the shelter and a generous proprietor her name is Genevieve Vang, and Genevieve is the head chef at Bangkok 96 Thai Restaurant, just south of Michigan Avenue on Telegraph. God, we love you, Genevieve. just a little plug right for her. She's so kind, and she's producing 200 entrees that she's donating for this event, and her Thai wizardry is second to none. In fact, they're always ranked among the leading Thai restaurants in Metro Detroit, and Urban Spoon ranked her among the top 10 vegan-friendly restaurants in the area.
Now, when people think of Thai, they usually think of very, very spicy, but there are different degrees.
Yeah, you absolutely don't have to have, and she won't for a meal like this. It won't be, you know, we'll kill you with the little red dragons that are so hot in that meal.
She's not in the back putting her rubbery hands and going,
No. She wants people to come back and feel good about it. And really, it'll be a nice celebration of Thai food, of course, which she prepares vegetarian and vegan all the time. So there'll be things, you know, like tofu and nuts and that sort of thing that you use to add into the hearty feel of dishes that are prepared.
Wonderful
vegan,
texture.
Vegetarian. Yep, great texture, as a matter of fact. And that's just one of the main entrees. One of them is to try to, of course, help people reimagine a dish that they all might know and have been familiar with. It's kind of a fall dish you'd normally see, and it's shepherd's pie. And it'll be prepared vegetarian, of course. And it's that, you know, you want that comfort food, the potatoes and the peas and the hearty meaty feel, and there are meat substitutes that will be used in preparing of that dish, and it will truly, I think, trick any carnivore that came to the table to have a taste.
And sometimes I have my diehard friends and even family members are like, I could never go without steak again or whatever. And you know, when you trick them, and it's not in a mean way, it's for good intentions. I think that most people are pleasantly surprised. Yeah. But tofu turns people off. Just the name.
It's a scary sounding word. Inherently, I want to not like it. but it really is just soybean curd. I mean, that sounds lovely and sexy too. One thing about tofu that's nice is there are so many now, because there's a lot of pressure that mainstream restaurants and mainstream grocery stores are providing products that are soy-based, that are meat substitutes, and not just soy-based. There are other plant-based products that they're doing for what they call these meat analogs and meat replacement food that is really tasty and doesn't have that weird mouth feel that I think people might have remembered. They tried tofu once, you know, 10 years ago, and it was gross. It was squishy in my mouth.
Right.
It doesn't have to be. It's about preparation of it and knowing what to do with it and how to manipulate it. And Genevieve is a master of that at Bangkok 96 for someone who many meaty friends, I say trick, of course, lovingly, because many of our friends are omnivores that eat just about anything that we put down on the table in front of them, including our dishes that are vegetarian. So it is with great joy that they sometimes prefer to have a dish that has Genevieve's tofu in it. And those are the kinds of ways that you just sort of introduce just one meal at a time people into trying something like that.
I cooked with tofu once. I got the extra firm and cut it into cubes and tricked my entire family because it looked a little too perfect to be, you know, cutting muted meat into cubes or whatever. But I found that it picked up the flavors of whatever was in there. So I used a lot of garlic with the oil when I was stir frying. There was a lot of garlic flavor in there, and it was enhanced by the vegetables.
Yeah.
Nobody knew.
It naturally wants that. It's a great marinating item for someone to prepare in food. So it is one of those things that, you know, we invite people to come and try, but if they're afraid of that, don't worry. There'll be shepherd's pie to dine on. There'll be appetizers there. There's going to be cheeses and crackers, of course, and beautiful fruit, and there's going to be a lovely pâté. There are many other, little munchies that'll be there in advance, and there will be there's soups, of course, and one of them being provided here by Chef Teeple at Henry Ford
Community
College.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
And some nice, lovely.
Elliot, an ice carving or two, do you think they're
going to? There's going to be an ice carving, courtesy of our friends here at the Ice Carving
Club.
Yeah,
actually, I just noticed they had a club meeting and Chef Teeple came in and he was talking about it. If nobody's seen these things, and Lindsay and I had an experience once. Lindsay just did walk in. She's here for everybody that's been calling. Stop. She's here. She went outside and they had the ice carving class right out of the Skylight Cafe outside of our studio. And she came back in and she said, they're using chainsaws. there's chainsaw, and there's people with irons, and it's ice. It didn't make any sense. So we actually had them come into our show, and right. we were talking to the people about it. And then, of course, they've won awards all over the country.
They're fabulous. The Ice Carving Club here is just brilliant.
It is. It's an amazing thing. So they're going to have that there.
Yes.
At the I think they're doing a luge. Like a punch luge, is that?
God, well, I can't wait for that.
No, that's that sounds fabulous. Okay, if not at this feast, then another one. So come to all of them.
Come to everything that they're doing.
What are the particulars about this? The cost on this particular event, how to get there?
Yeah, sure. It's a full meal, of course. There's appetizers, entrees, desserts. There's going to be brownies and cheesecake and just lots of great food that's just delicious. And we want people to come and celebrate together so we can all share around a table and just enjoy one another's company and help the animals. So the ticket price is $45 in advance. The tickets are available online through the shelter at dearbornanimals.org. That's .org, Dearborn Animals with the S on the end. And they're $50 at the door. It is a complete ticket price. So it's your full meal and also includes beer and wine and soft drinks and just a whole lot of fun. There's door prizes. There's raffles going on, of course, to fundraise. There'll be adoptable animals there. And it really is a fun event. It's hosted at Park Place. And they're just a great place to put on a party. They make it very memorable.
And it's a Friday.
It's this Friday.
At what time?
6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay, 6 to 10.
Yeah.
And, for anybody that's ever gone out to eat knows that, you know, just going out to any restaurant for much less than what you're talking about can be more expensive. The shelter needs money. I mean, like you said, it's just like us, like what we do here. And I mean, there's animals' lives at stake, and I know that you do a lot of things. We've heard over the years about the Chihuahua House and all these different things, and they because something really, really bad happens, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden more money is there.
Right.
It takes the donations. So something like this where you're donating money but you're getting so much in return, you know, I'm all about raising money for great causes, and I think that's really important. We are going to is there a phone number or a website?
Yes, of
I'm
course.
Sorry.
No, that's right. We leap all over the place chatting away, but the website again is dearbornanimals.org, and the phone number, if you just want to call the shelter or get tickets or ask any questions, you're welcome to do that. It's in Dearborn, area code 313-943-2697. And by all means, please give us a jingle if you're hesitant or not familiar with it and want to ask some questions. We welcome everybody at Nobie's Feast. It's a really nice evening.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Now, we're going to take a quick a non-commercial break. Can you stay with us? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely.
And Lindsay's here. Yay, Lindsay's in the building. So we'll be back after these few messages. Stay tuned.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have sent children into fits of rage.
I am responsible for a child's speech impediment.
I am the reason a child can't read.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for a real degree that's going to prepare you for the future? Then listen up. The Alternative Energy Technology degree is great for students looking to prepare themselves for a career in a new generation of green jobs. Students will learn about renewable energy and promoting and practicing of energy efficiency. If you're interested in more information about this degree or any of the other degrees here at HFCC, please call 1-800-585-HFCC or visit them online at www.hfcc.edu.
Welcome back. This is, that song is called Put Me on the Radio, which is the theme song to the Campus Connection, and the Campus Connection is hosted by myself, Dennis, and the lovely and talented Lindsay, who is right here with me. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Dennis.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am better than I deserve.
Aww.
Welcome back. I guess better late than never, huh?
Right?
Yeah. Did you have trouble parking, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're funny.
Anyway, I kept telling people you're going to come in, and of course, the phone's lighting up, and the emails are coming in, and my texting and everything, and I just had to kind of wait, and here you are, so.
Well, I walked in, and you were talking about food.
I know.
Without me.
You know, it's horrible. And the 5101 restaurant, which we like, and when I say brag about, I'm not being superfluous. Thanks.
There you go.
Yeah. It's not hyperbole. Yeah, how's that? Anyway, I'm not exaggerating. We love their restaurant. You know, I cannot be this heavy by not eating food. I mean, and I won't just eat anything. It has to be darn good food. So
not only 5101, all the food here at Henry Ford. Like, I tell you, the Skylight Cafe, I miss eating there.
Do you really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that. Like, do you really?
No, there's no school like our school. Like, well, my old school. I'm an alumni.
She is. She's at Wayne State now, but comes back to do the show. And
we don't have a Skylight Cafe at Wayne State.
No, they send you everybody here.
Or 5101.
No, don't you have like a food cart with like
KFC?
Restaurants,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, as you came in, Lindsay, I think you may have noticed there's a couple extra people in the.
This place is bumping.
I know it is. Well, this is Welcome Back Days.
Yeah.
And to anybody that has not heard that expression before, I can imagine some poor freshman coming on campus right now, and it does get pretty crazy here. And the first thing you smell when you walk in is popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a clown doing balloon stuff. I don't know. Anyway, no, actually today
there's a circus out here. Welcome back.
Student clubs, they're really on display. There's WHFR has. In fact, Lynn was out there. I grabbed him. I'm like, come here. And they have their tent. They're the only one with a tent, I believe. Yeah, not to be outdone.
Yeah,
and
just so we don't get rained on.
Yeah, yeah, indoors, right. No, it's beautiful out, Jay. Don't worry about the tent. No, but seriously, we're out there. Every single club, I think, I don't think it's mandatory, but it makes a lot of sense because this is almost like a recruiting time where you can talk to people come up, get their attention and say, you know, this particular club, and I can't even think of one. Or WHFR is a great example. We tell
there's
people
a science
about
club right there. They got rocket ships set up on there.
That's
table.
Astronomy.
Oh, astronomy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jen Donowski is right out there.
Because we have such an awesome planetarium here at Henry Ford Community
College. We will. That's my next. Yeah, we're talking about that.
The renovations are taking place.
Exactly.
They're almost done, aren't they?
And they're set up outside so you can, they have the, I said, what are we looking at today? Because they change sometimes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I was able to look at the sun and see a huge sunspot virtually in the center, and then off to the right, a whole cluster of other sunspots.
So in other words, they have it, it's the protective stuff, so mm-hmm. you can actually look at the sun.
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's mm-hmm.
Make sure you got to see
that.
There's
a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
Looking through the telescope.
Every time I want to, the HFCC Hawk mascot's there looking, and they won't let me in. Seriously, I went up there. Remember that last year? Same thing this year. We have a hawk, and this person just does not. I'm sorry. This hawk does not like me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Welcome Back Days. The student clubs are out there. We have karaoke, and I saw some people singing and dancing. I didn't hear them. So maybe, I don't know why I didn't hear them. Maybe they just want to keep it kind of on the down low. And we also have, what does it say here? Spin art. Interesting. Hmm. Okay.
Well, I did that when I was a kid.
Really? What is it?
Don't you know, like the little, it's spin art. It's a spinning thing. You drop the paint in and it's like spiro, like, does anybody know?
Yeah.
Anybody? Okay, all right, good. All right, ladies.
Can anybody give another explanation?
Well, I can't think of the, it's a spinning disc, like, you put the paper on it and it spins,
So your paper is turning and your paint is going on by drops, and as the paper spins, it kind of spreads the paint different ways.
You've heard of this,
Sandy?
Yeah. I'm the only one that hasn't. I grew up in a cave. Anyway, so that's what's going on. Apparently, this very popular form of art is going on right now as we speak. And then again, tomorrow, the same student clubs will be out there. Again, another day of recognition. And there's something called Dash for Dollars. It's hilarious. It's a game show. You don't have to be... I mean, just by being here, and you can participate. So it's not like you have to sign up or anything. You may have to sign up that day. I just know there's a lot of people get on there, and you can win just a ton of different prizes. It's called – oh, that's the actual game show, and there's a Dash for Dollars too, and I don't know – I guess I don't know what that is because I thought that was the name of the game show. Has anybody heard of Dash for Dollars? You got an answer for that one, Lindsay?
No, but I'll come if it involves dollars. there's a way that I can earn some, sure.
Anyway, most of the people out there are probably like, oh, I know what
this
that is.
This is tomorrow?
That, That's tomorrow. What's going on today is almost over because it's from 11 to 2.
And this goes on through Thursday, right?
And it comes on through Thursday.
Cool.
There will be less clubs out there on Thursday. WHFR doesn't have a tent out there that day. Apparently it won't rain. But they will have student support services, vendor services, photo dog tags.
Because you bring your dog to school. I don't know.
That may be for personal.
Oh, dog tags. Yeah. I get it now.
The people like to wear the dog tags. We don't confuse them with the canines, but you know.
It's not a long day.
Because I could imagine, and I'd be going, I'd like one of those photo dog tags. Well, what's your name? Spot. They would kind of look at me kind of strange, wouldn't they? Anyway, and then airbrush tattoos. So those aren't the permanent ones. I would think not.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's Welcome Back Days. I actually wrote a note. I actually did just to show prep because I didn't know Lindsay was going to be here. you made up a good point about the renovation of the science building. Did you see the wall? There's actually, they started working on the outside structure. And I don't know, some people have told me, and I should know this, right?
Cause don't you go to school here?
I do, but I'm seeing a tunnel vision. but I don't know if the building that they're putting up now will be connected to the science building or if there's going to be some kind of a walkway. We're going to find out, but it's where the parking lot was.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting. It's just one wall now. It's facing south. So I don't know what's going to be there. But my point was that classes are starting, the 12-week classes that will take place in the old science building, the one that is not new. those are starting on the 19th, September 19th. And apparently that's going to go right on schedule. And then those are the 12-week classes. And then there are actual 8-week classes, not just at the science building, but everywhere. And those will start on the 10th of October. So I'm telling you this in case anybody is, when does my 12 or 8-week class start? Because obviously you would have to be registered already. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty intense here for registration for fall, as you can imagine. And I wanted to point out, because this has not been said anywhere, that the shuttle is... It's on our website, actually, but the shuttle is in effect. Do you know what that is, Sandy?
No, I don't. I was just wondering that. I'm sure it wasn't a space one that we were talking about.
We moved that
from the budget,
right? We discontinued that, sure.
Yeah.
No, we actually – that's part of the new science renovation. No, what they're a couple years ago when we had a lot of people returning to college, myself included.
We had the parking lot construction.
We had parking lot construction at the same time. So here we have 18,000, 19,000 people and less parking because they were building more. So if temporarily there was less parking – and with all the people, what they did was they set up this wonderful shuttle service that you would go to the food court at Fairlane Mall.
Oh, excellent.
The shuttle
idea.
Picks you up, brings you to here right behind. Yeah. I had an issue with that too. But and then brings you behind the Fine Arts Building. And this will continue Monday through Friday now, not just Monday through Thursday.
Great.
And from what we're told, and this is from Dr. Gail Mee, the president of our college, that they plan on doing this indefinitely. So
it's free.
This is absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
Now, because they're continuing, do you remember in the beginning, did you ever take the shuttle?
No, I haven't.
I don't think you ever did.
No, I never did.
Used to have, I guess they would call it a continental breakfast. You could have a Danish and some juice. They didn't have coffee, and I had to grab myself. Nobody served me. But the point is that they would do these refreshments, and it was like, are you kidding me? I'm not getting off the bus. I don't need to go to class.
Just go back and forth.
I think there was a limit, but I had this mustache, and I would wear a disguise. No, but seriously, they don't do that anymore, but now they're open on Fridays too. So I talked to a few students, and they're telling me, well, listen, I take a bus to school, and I used to have to go to Fairlane, wait for a transfer, and then take it to Henry Ford Community College. You don't have to do that anymore. They take it to Fairlane. They walk through the mall. Which, I don't know, I've always thought that was fun. And then go through the food court, get on the shuttle, and you're here. And so basically from wherever your bus stop is by your house to the Fine Arts Building. I don't know. I'm really, really happy they kept doing that. And
cool.
I didn't expect it. But Dr. Mee says, yep, indefinitely. And we'll find out. That's it. So we have other things we have to talk about.
Which one would you like to talk
about? I like to talk
about
this one.
Because we love this art gallery.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
We actually have Lindsay and I are telling us some time. I'm not used to this. Sandy, usually it's just Lindsay and me winging it. We're like, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. Right. We play rock, paper, scissors, and that's not good radio. This is on?
I've missed you.
Really?
Yeah. This is on Art Gallery.
That was funny?
Yeah, that was funny. That was good.
Okay.
It's good radio. You're great, Dennis.
Oh, you're just saying that because it's true.
The Alma College 30th Annual Statewide Print Competition has been going on since August 25th. Are you aware?
OMG.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Amazing.
It's running through next Thursday.
Okay. You have to see this. All of you. I mean, some of the stuff in there is amazing. And this is from the Alma College. Yeah, this is the 30th year.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been told it's the last year.
They're showcasing some of the best printmaking in Michigan.
It's unbelievable.
From what I hear.
Some of the stuff in there is just like you're looking. I mean, And I only spent like a half hour. I could have easily spent 2-3 times that. There's some neat stuff. Yeah.
There is a reception taking place next Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. September 22nd from 6 to 8, and that's wrapping up the exhibition going on. So if you want to go to
this year reception
if you want to go to that for the wrap-up day.
And then what's going on after that? There's something
Gumption for Gunpowder.
This is neat.
Yeah. I just want to say it again. Gumption and Gunpowder.
And that will be before our next show, so I guess we can talk about it.
Yeah. It runs Monday, October 3rd to Thursday, November 23rd. It will be going on during our show.
Okay.
So we can give updates on what's going on.
Perfect.
There. It's a features work of contemporary artist Dave Wininski. Oh, geez, Dennis. Wisniewski,
yeah. You got it.
Yeah, of Toledo. He's from Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. His expressive paintings demonstrate a history of the old American West.
Okay.
Nice, right?
Nice.
Yes, they've rarely been seen before, and they're going to be here on display from October 3rd to November 23rd.
All right.
So
cool beans.
Come check it out.
Where are they on display?
Oh, this is here. This is here at the Fine Arts Building. It's a beautiful art gallery that we have here on campus.
It would be the westernmost building.
Yes.
So if you went through the parking lot all the way to the back.
Dark brown brick.
Yeah, okay. Fine Arts. And it's called the Sasan Gallery. It's right on the first floor. And it's like around the corner from whatever entrance you take, seriously. And it's so cool. It's really cool. I think it's open from 12. No. What time?
Well,
I know my friend Lath works there
from 10 to 6.
All right. So it is
Monday
open
through Thursdays.
Okay, cool.
And then Friday is 10 to 3. They close early on Fridays.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just bring this up. I know we have about 6 minutes or so.
This is important. Definitely.
This is huge.
I'll
read it from the I can't do it justice myself, so I'll read it from the sheet. It's HFCC to host panel focusing on Arab Detroit 9/11, Life in the Terror Decade. This was co-edited by HFCC anthropology professor Dr. Nabil Abraham, who I ran into right outside here before our show. And just an amazing gentleman. He's been at the college for a long time. He heads up the honors program here. He's been so supportive of what we're doing at the newspaper. He's really quite an incredible man. The HFCC Arab Cultural Studies program will kick off the 2011-2012 academic year with a panel discussion on the book, Arab Detroit 9/11, Life in the Terror Decade, that was put out by Wayne State University Press. The panel will take place Wednesday, September 21st from noon to 1 in L14 of the HFCC Liberal Arts Studies Building. That's downstairs. L14's on the main floor. There's a little auditorium down there.
Yeah.
It's a decent size. And this event is free and it's open to the public. Every single person that can hear our voice. If you're in another country, I mean, you could still come here, whatever. I always forget that we're on the internet.
Everyone is welcome.
Arab Detroit 9/11, Life in the Terror Decade is co-edited by, like I said, Professor Dr. Nabil Abraham. This important new work explores the trauma, unexpected political gain, and moral ambiguities faced by Arab Americans in Detroit in a post-9/11 world. There's some serious stuff. Just the little bit of exposure I've had to it talks about people. And what was wonderful, I'm going on a tangent here. What was wonderful was the this past weekend for the 9/11 celebration, Access, and they kind of are the umbrella organization for a lot of other things, including the Arab National Museum on Michigan Avenue.
Right.
They had something really unique where people could come up. It was like almost like a booth where people could come up and tell their verbal stories of things that things that had happened to them, but sometimes it was just historical stuff. You know how way before any of us were even around, that's how things were recorded, where story passed on from generation to generation. Well, they thought that would be a really good way, on top of everything else, to get that kind of information. They made a CD out of it that they're of all these different stories, and they're giving it away. That's what this kind of reminds me of, because you're getting different people talking about how life as an Arab American, how their lives were affected.
Mm-hmm.
During the club meetings, the students from the Muslim Student Association were talking about that, how, you know, it's rough for non-Arabs and non-Muslims, you know, because of being careful or whatever, but it's that much harder on Muslims because they may be living the righteous life and on this great path, but people look at them differently since what happened.
Well, and it's not really, since 9/11, you look at a Muslim and a lot of people think terrorist. Well, Timothy McVeigh was not a Muslim and he was a terrorist. So
exactly.
We really need to think about things like that.
And that's
like
a longer list if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Right. Abraham's co-editors are Sally Howell of the University of Michigan Dearborn and Andrew J. Shyrock of the University of Michigan Ann Arbor. Abraham, Shyrock, and Howell assembled a diverse group of contributors, many of whom teach at prestigious educational institutions such as Princeton, Michigan State, and U of M. And the majority of the contributors are Palestinian, Yemeni, Iraqi, Lebanese. They're Muslim and Christian, American-born and immigrants. So you're getting a nice, diverse group for this panel. And they have them up there, and they're going to talk about the different things. And I think this is going to be an open discussion. And that's why they want as many people involved as possible.
So this is taking place when? Let's recap real quick.
This is taking place Wednesday, September 21st, noon to 1 p.m. in L14, which is in the downstairs of the Liberal Arts Building on campus. It's probably the oldest building on campus, I would think, next to the Science Building. So, yeah, a lot of cool stuff there. Not cool, important. It's really important to
and
do this stuff.
And it's free and open to the public, and it's next Wednesday from noon to 4.
Yeah, and I want to really quick touch on this because this is a big deal. We have, it's due September 16th, free CNC operator training program.
What's CNC?
CNC is a kind of machine. I think it's a brand, but it's a kind of machine that's used in a shop setting to make tools, tool making, things like that. Okay. The point is that we have a CNC department. If you walk in the tech building, they have CNC training stuff. And the CNC operator training is absolutely free. Application for the program, though, are due September 16th. And then the program itself begins in late September, early October. It says the free CNC operator training program for the unemployed and or veterans in our region is a 6-week accelerated training program geared toward teaching students the basics of CNC machine tools. So come in here. It's unemployed or veterans, available Monday through Thursday, 8 to 3 for the 6-week course. Have high school level computer and math skills. Be able to lift up to 50 pounds and stand for a minimum of 4 hours at a time. And then have a minimum of 2 years experience machining or manual mills or lathe. So in other words, if you have a little background, but not CNC, that's where this is going to take you.
All right, so what do these people do? Want the free training? Then you do what? You got to call.
Email mtech at hfcc.edu, or you call Arlisha Somerville at 313-317-6607. That's 313-317-6607. If you go to our website, hfcc.edu, there's information about this. You can click on it. It'll tell you everything, including maps and all other contact info. But get there soon. How are we doing, Lynn? We're on time. Listen, thanks to everybody for listening. Lindsay, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's fun.
Sandy Bolton, thank you so much. Remember, that's this Friday. It's the No Beast Feast, and it's for a great cause in the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Lynn, thank you for jumping in here and running that. I totally appreciate it. And
happy to do it.
All right.
We'll be back next month.
And we have our 2-year anniversary. We have fireworks planned. We have a big, big, big deal.
We're going to eat on the air.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be wonderful. So please listen. It's the second Tuesday in October. October 9th, and look forward to talking to you then. Thank you so much. Bye now.
This is Dr. Wally B. from Cat Daddy in the 1320s, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn, making waves.
Get your musical GPS set to WHFR the week of September 18th through September 24th. Let your ears lock into your DJ's GPS. Expect the unexpected and enjoy. Join us September 18th through September 24th on location at WHFR.FM Detroit 89.3.
See what I mean?
You're right. I'm really not the worst trumpet player in the world. Thanks, Dad.
Just keep practicing, son. You'll get it.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Get ready on Saturday, October 8th, WHFR will host its fourth annual record show from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the Student Center at HFCC. Early admission starts at 9 a.m., and many of last year's favorite vendors will be returning, as well as some new vendors, one of which could be you. That's right, we're currently accepting applications for